Science Radio. Now, on the line, I have Charles Ross, who's performing his one-man Star Wars show at GLive in Guildford next week. Hello, Charles. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic. Hi, Charles. Yes. Right, so you've performed this, your one-man Star Wars show, over 4,000 times in 500 cities around the world. That is amazing. What on earth, how on earth did this start out?
Well, I guess it sort of started out for me trying to combat the continual state of unemployment that plagues people that try to work in the theater. When I studied theater, left university, and started to work in my vocation, I just thought, I'm not going to be waiting for someone else to make me famous. I better, do something of my own. So I wrote some different things, but this was one of those things that I tried putting on stage, Star Wars, me, no costume, no set, no props, no talent, just me on stage. I tried doing just the first movie as a 25-minute bit, and when I put it in front of people, I didn't know if they'd actually be able to keep up with the pace of my show, which they actually did very well, and it seemed like it could be longer, so maybe encapsulate the entire original trilogy. So I reduced it down to about an hour. It's about 8 hours of film reduced down to an hour, and as I said, me on stage, no costume, no set, no props, and I started to tour it, and eventually Lucasfilm found out about it when they were completely fine with what I was doing, which was very, very surprising.
Well, it is a bit of a homage to Star yeah. Wars, isn't it? Because it's clear that you absolutely love Star Wars.
Well, especially when I was a kid. I mean, I think I came by my love of Star Wars rather, I think, naturally. It was just, everybody loved it in the 70s and 80s, and I guess I took all that time that I spent watching Star Wars, which you could say it was a negative time spent, wasting your time watching TV and watching movies, but I sort of twisted around and turned it into research, into something positive, so that rather than just sort of saying, yes, I've watched the original Star Wars movie 400 times, which I did, instead of just sort of having that horrible fact, I can sort of look at it and say, well, when I was a kid, I was doing research for the thing that would sort of define whatever kind of career I wanted to have.
That's one of those classic things that teachers or parents say, you never get anywhere watching TV. Oh,
absolutely.
Yes, just you watch and see.
I certainly couldn't have told them that. I didn't actually know that this would work out quite this way, but I think my parents are pleased that, they let me watch the film that many times, and, I was able to do something with it that wasn't just, involving me living in the basement and, making toys or something like that.
Because it's taken you all around the world, hasn't it? You've been
it
on
has.
BBC Radio 4, you've been 500 cities across four continents,
yeah. Yeah.
And then things like the Conan O'Brien show in America.
Yeah, it's weird, but I think that's the thing about Star Wars, is that it opens doors to places that you would never really think, you'd ever have a chance to go to, like doing the Conan O'Brien show, or, being able to do the show in New York City, for 6 months, but that's because of this sort of that marquee value and the long arm that is Lucasfilm and all things Star Wars. I can go to China, and I have been, and, you can actually draw in a huge crowd because Star Wars is just everywhere. So I think if I would have done, the one-man Ghostbusters, I'd probably find my limit, as to where people had actually heard of it. But Star Wars is everywhere. And, there's people that are not just fans, they're rabid fans of Star Wars, which is crazy because, this is what this show, I guess, is. It wasn't intended to be just for the, the crazy fans of Star Wars, but I guess it works that way because people understand where I'm coming from. People feel just as passionate about Star Wars as I did when I was a kid, and I still do. So I can't think of any other thing except for maybe Lord of the Rings or Doctor Who, or Star Trek that has that kind of built-in fandom.
Well, it's not just crazy people. So many people love Star Wars, and particularly,
yeah.
if you're a kid and you go to the movies and see them for the first time, it's wow.
Yeah.
It really was wow at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it still is wow, though.
Yeah, and I'm sure your stage show is bringing back the memories to people.
Absolutely. It's the memory of not only just the films, but I think our unabashed love, our geeky love that we can have for something, you know, without being too self-critical. Like when you are a nerd, you wear your heart on your sleeve, and you love something because there's no explanation needed, you know, for it. You just live it. And when you're a kid, and when I was a kid, for instance, and I would sort of play Star Wars, I didn't worry about whether or not my voice was perfect, or whether I could do a perfect Yoda, or whether or not I even had, you know, the proper toys or a lightsaber. I just went for it. And I think that's what this show is all about. It's reminding people that you don't need all the accoutrement. You don't need to have the Hollywood sets to sort of relive that experience. Your imagination does so much work to sort of fill in those blanks.
Well, on stage, and I haven't seen you live, but on YouTube, it's just you and the microphone. You do the special effects and all the voices and everything, don't you?
That's right, yeah. Well, but, you know, I could have done a show that involved costumes and props, but that would sort of take away from, I think, the spirit of what this is, which is that it's you know, what can one person do? You know, and what can we remember? Like, what how much of the films can we remember? And I think it's easier to tour without all these sort of, you know, needs than without all these props or costumes. And, I mean, I think that's kind of the most amazing thing about this experience and this show, is that people bring all the Star Wars they need in their own minds, and in some cases in their own hearts. So when they're sitting down watching the show, I mean, and this show is a comedy. It's a funny thing. But we can kind of laugh at the silliness of Star Wars, or, you know, or just what we remember, you know, like the varying degrees of good acting and not so good acting that you found in the original trilogy. And, you know, I make comments about it throughout. But I think if I would have sort of, you know, belabored everything with a bunch of props and costumes, that it would actually kind of take away from the fact that this is kind of Mickey Mouse. You know, that's what this is. This is an 8-year-old kid, you know, playing Star Wars unabashedly, you know, and that's just what people used to do when they were kids. But today, I mean, my goodness, you can buy all these props and toys that if I would have had those when I was a kid, I think I would have lost my mind.
I know what you mean. As you say, you don't need all the costumes and all the rest of it. People's imagination brings everything along. Now, you have to give us an extract, please. Give us an excerpt of what you do.
Yeah, you bet. Now, this is a 2-minute bit. I hope that's okay. This is the trash compactor scene from the original movie.
Get behind me! Get behind me! This is some rescue. You got an injury plan for getting out? Well, he's the brain, sweetheart. What the hell are you doing? Someone has to save us kids. In the garbage chute, fly boy. Get in there, you big furry oaf. I don't care what you smell. Get in there. Get in there. Wonderful girl. I'm going to kill her. I'm beginning to like her. Get in there. Ah, the garbage chute. What a wonderful idea. What an incredible smell you've discovered. Well, it could be worse. It's worse. There's something alive in here. Something just swam past my leg. Look, did you see that? Kid Luke! Blast it, will you? Hand my gun jammed! Where? Oh, anywhere! No! Kid Luke! Grab him! What happened? I don't know. Just let go of me and disappeared. The walls are closing in. Don't just stand there trying to brace with something. Wait a minute. 3PO? Come here, 3PO! 3PO! Oh, where could he be? 3PO! 3PO! Are you there, sir? 3PO, we've had some problems. Were you shoving this to me? Shoving all the garbage smashes on the detention level. Do you copy? Shoving all the garbage smashes on the detention level. No, shut them all down. Hurry. Ah, you damn 3PO! Listen to Martu, they're dying. Oh, curse my metal body. It wasn't fast enough. It's all my fault. My fault. We're all right. You did great. Where are we? 3263827.
And that's how the show goes for an hour.
Wow, that sounds like hard work for you, mate.
It's all right.
It's all right, because you love it so much.
Well, it keeps me in shape.
That brings back a lot of memories. Also, actually, memories of the Family Guy version where they're struggling with a three-piece suite.
Yes. I know.
You don't
great.
Do that version.
No, I don't. But, you know, it's weird because, I mean, I've been doing this now for 16 years. So it actually, it's before the Family Guy thing and before there was a robot chicken sort of send-up of it. And it's strange that I can't say I was sort of a pioneer of doing this type of thing. I mean, solo shows have been going on forever. But as far as beating some of the people to the punch, you know, I've met people that said, oh, my God, I had this idea, the same idea, you know, whenever they were, you know, trying to work through theater. I said, yeah, but I guess I just kind of beat other people to the punch. And, you know, Lucasfilm, and they endorsed me. So it kind of means that there's nobody else out there that's kind of competing, which would be kind of hilarious. It'd be like Dork Wars or something.
Now, if people want to see you, Charles, so
yes.
It's G Live you're at on Wednesday?
That's right.
What sort of time?
I think it's probably 7:30, and I actually have a comic who will be there as well. So he plays for about a half an hour, then we have a little interval, and then I'm on at about 8:20.
Oh, very good, very good. Great, so if you want to see Charles, it's G Live on Wednesday. Thank you very much, that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Brooklyn's Radio.